Well, then what are you doing here?
We're close. I got in there close.
Yeah. About 4:30.
There is some, let's see, roll call. We have everyone here but Supervisor Bosch. That is first thing on the agenda. Approve the minutes from the previous meeting and from the 10-19 budget meeting. Has everyone had a chance to look at those?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Grady, seconded by Supervisor Gilmore to approve both sets of minutes. All of the areas of governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye. Carried. Chairman, committee members, supervisors. The agenda tonight has a couple very neat things. Information we're going to receive from Kemper. And there is also some very good news from Matt on some grant funding for the Katy Park that we've been trying to accomplish. So we're going to have some interesting discussion on those. And also we have a new memorandum of understanding between Kemper Center and the county that we're going to be taking a look at and have some discussion on. And that was a move by the county executive to have things much more transparent with Kenosha County and Kemper Center. And I believe that will accomplish it, but we'll be looking at that this evening. Wanted it to come here before it goes to the county board. Let everyone have a look and have some discussion. Any other committee members or youth and governance, any comments? If not, we'll move on right away. I want to remind everybody who's playing Monday Night Football this evening.
Thank you, Dennis.
Somebody from the same division. Somebody that hasn't played on two Sundays, let's put it that way. So we're going to get right into the overview of the Kemper Center Lakefront Studios. Gary, and I see you brought your...
Since we met all of you last time, quite a bit more has happened. Let me hand these out, and everybody can take one, and hopefully I have enough of them here, especially for the supervisors. The last time we met, I think we talked about the overall project, and basically the overall project is the restoration of the 34th floor of the Simmons Auditorium. The one thing that Kemper is in need of, which I have said multiple times in front of the county board, is fixed income. We need fixed income. Income that we know we can rely on every single month, more or less renters. And the one thing that we have found that people really are in need of in Kenosha County through the Art Center is studio space. And I'm not sure if any of you have seen what 16th Street Studios have done in Racine. They have about 65 studios in the old post building, which was the Von Schrader building, and they have 100% occupancy, and their rents are about the same what we're thinking about charging. And if you know where that host building was, that's not the best neighborhood in the world, and they don't have the best views. Well, Kemper, of course, is in a great neighborhood, and it has some of the best views in the city of Kenosha. So, and what was remarkable, when we restored the conference center, we never touched the dorm rooms. We never touched the rooms on the third and fourth floor of the Simmons Auditorium. So all the rooms stayed intact. But one of the things they did do with foresight, they replaced all the windows, they replaced all the fire escapes, they did all that. So a lot of that groundwork was done already. So the only thing we really have to do is paint, do the mechanicals, and we're in the business of renting out studio spaces. And we once were in that business until we decided, along with the county, you came along and tore down those two homes that were right in front of the Anderson Art Center. All those bedrooms and everything were once being used for studio spaces. And we used to rent those out, and that was fixed income for us. So we lost that. So all this time we've been kind of thinking, what's the best way to go down this path? Well, we actually started this path about a year and a half ago. And that was when the idea first came to light. So we have been out fundraising. We've been, we sent out a, let me see here. In fact, I have three of them here. I'll pass two this way. And one this way. This is the direct mail piece that we sent out asking people for money. And I have to admit, obviously, we have a couple very philanthropic angels who love Kemper Center. And when we explained to them, which I think the last time when Mark was here, talked about the project, we thought about doing it in phases. And we looked at that and thought we'd do it one floor at a time, then maybe the second floor, or I mean the third floor, then the fourth floor. But then when we really looked at it and we saw how much more that actually was going to cost us, even though it would have been, we thought we would get it done quicker, we thought, well, we went back to the drawing board. Well, then we had a couple curveballs thrown at us. One of them is there's not enough power going to the Kemper Center. So Wii Energies threw a curveball at us and said we had to bring the power up to more code than what it is presently. So we had to come up with those funds. So the total funds to do the third and fourth floor is $325,000. And I can say right now to date, Kemper Center has $325,000 to do this project. And not $1 of that $325,000 is tax money, is from you people. Because at one time, I'll be honest with you, which Matt will attest to, I said, can we use the 50 that you earmarked for 2018 and use that for this project? And with a little strong arming from Matt and the county executive and a few other people, they said, we'd really rather have you do it with no tax dollars. So we had to go back to the angels and say, hey, we have to raise a little bit more money. So we've done it. We've raised $325. With that, Partners in Design got involved. They went out and bidded it out, and I'll let Mark explain all that.
That $325,000, I think, is short architectural fees, which is customary when I work for Kemper Center. It seems to be, anyhow. So last time we were here, we did give you a little bit of an overview of the project, and we can go back and talk about any aspect that you'd like, certainly. But what I do want to touch on, Mark Molinaro, Partners in Design Architects, for those who don't know me. What I did want to touch on today is just the process that we used to select an architect. So, select a contractor. And this is essentially the document that we put out to bid, which is plan and spec scope. It's all reduced in terms of what I've got in front of me here today. I think we may have shared this with you to some extent last time we were here also. So we followed what would have been a typical process the county might follow, or any other public entity, private entity for that matter. And we went out for competitive bids. So we received bids from three contractors. One was immediately disqualified just based on price, certainly capable, but significantly outside the scope of dollars of what we had to spend. So we were down to two that were within about $3,000 of each other. After we scoped it and vetted not only what they had in their number, but their expertise or experience in doing projects of this scope, similar in terms of the restoration work that had to be done, and quite honestly, what is, I guess what I would call sort of work that you have to, that you don't know what you're going to run into until you get into it. So what we didn't want to do is have a contractor that got in, every little issue that came up, keeping in mind this is an old building, old walls, old floors, old everything, I'd say old HVAC, but it doesn't exist in that building right now, so there isn't anything to be concerned about. But we didn't want to have to be coming back to Kemper with a change order every time there was an issue. So contrary to the name of the contractor, I'll disclose that shortly. I'm assuming I can.
Yes, absolutely.
This is a contractor that we've done a significant amount of work with ourselves, Partners in Design, both in the public and private sector, so they're very capable of doing it. They were not the low bidder. They were high by almost $3,000, but they're certainly the most qualified, in our opinion, based on what they've done before. And this, the company, the owner is Larry Jewett, and this company is Odd Job Larry. So I tell him every time I talk to him that he should have thought that through a little bit more, because I personally think it doesn't quite send the right connotation. Nonetheless, he has done quite a bit of work for Racine Community Action Agency, right? Is that what they're called? Racine Kenosha Community Action Agency. So we've done two projects with that organization, also received some county funding and are involved between both of the organizations, or between the Racine County and Kenosha County. And Larry's done a couple of jobs for with them and us together. So he does a great job, very conscientious. He's going to bring Lee Plumbing, mechanical, and electrical in to do all three of those trades. I'll touch briefly on the electrical issue. Gary misspoke slightly, but I only bring it up to make the point that there isn't a shortage of power at Kemper Center. There's a shortage of power to do in the locations in which we need it. So what we have built into the contract that we'll have with Larry Jewett, again, at no cost to the county, is to upgrade the electrical by pulling off of a an existing feed that's within the campus. So we're not going to have Heavy Energies bring a new service in. At least that's the thing, that's the last time we talked. If that's going to change, we'll talk about it further. But, so we'll pull off an existing service that's there, but we'll get some new power panels and feeders in the Simmons Auditorium on the 34th floor, which we don't currently have. So that's going to be, in the end, certainly a value benefit to the overall complex. I'm not sure there's much more that we can add to this other than to say it was a rather long and arduous process, but I think we've got to a point where they're ready to go. This isn't going to be a split deal where you do one floor one year and another floor the next. It's going to be a much more seamless process for them, and I think it's going to be a nice addition to the overall complex. So questions, as always, we're here to answer.
Anybody, any questions on the project, on the financing?
Just to follow up, Mark, it's not going to be a phased approach. Third and fourth, we tackle that at the same time?
Correct.
Okay. And is there a proposed start date and timeline at this point?
Not yet, no, because we waited to get through this process of this week.
Correct.
And as soon as we get through this week, I will be signing the contract. But the project is going to be overseen by Jason Roche, who's a Kemper board member, and Matt.
So let's neglect the start date. Let's just take about a timeline. Approximate estimate would take to do third and fourth floors.
Some of it will obviously be dependent on what we run into, naturally. And we will get through the bulk of the questions on timing once we get through the demolition. Once you get things exposed, you get a real sense of what you're dealing with, what's in there.
So there's not a timeline?
Not a specific timeline. We will tie something down as best we can to the contractor because you don't want it to be open-ended and run on forever. I would think this is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of a 3 at the very short term to probably 4 or 5 month process. And if we can phase in, which we have the capability of doing just because of the layout of the structure, right? So we have access, we have ingress, egress, we don't have any concerns there. We can finish portions of a floor, probably won't do that, but we could. But more than likely, we can certainly finish one floor at a time if we're able to do it and get that available and operational sooner than the other.
So 3 to 5 months inclusive of demo or exclusive of demo?
Inclusive, start to finish.
And in terms of what the...
What I'll say, just to make it clear, what I'll say from commencement to occupancy.
3 to 5.
Yep.
In terms of what the prospective renter is looking at, finished product, they have a space which is furnished, non-furnished, what is the...
Non-furnished. It's strictly a studio. And we're marketing towards creative types. We've had a lot of people come through it already, with a lot of interest. Everybody from people who paint, draw, to writers, to a landscape architect has really spent a lot of time up there measuring rooms and figuring out which ones he would want. So we've had a lot of that type of business. It's not going to be retail. It's not set up for that. It's not set up to be an office for an attorney or anything like that. It's creative space. We want to connect it with the Anderson Art Center. I mean, we're the only art center in Kenosha County, so, and we need studio space.
And just refresh our memories here, the approximate, each rental unit will be ballpark, how many square feet?
How many square feet? That's a hard question.
I will say, as I'm looking this up, I'm not sure if we have this number in here or not, or for that matter, if I can move it on the process. What I want to make sure is clear, and part of, I think, the character in which this setting is going to be in, these rental spaces will be in, is we're not talking about coming in here and tearing every piece of plaster and trim off the wall, putting a new door, new trim, new plaster. This is going to be a what I would refer to as a Class A finish office space that you would find in any new construction. The floors are going to squeak, right? It's going to be all exposed wood floors. You're going to hear that creaky, that Kemper feel to it. It's going to be trim work that's clearly going to have some abuse to it, which is all part of the character of what Kemper Center is. And I might also point out the type of ambiance that the renters in this particular case are going to be looking for. My estimate is going to be, these rooms are probably, because I don't think I have that number here, these rooms, I'm going to guess, just by memory, are probably somewhere in the neighborhood of, at most, 20 by 20, and probably a little bit smaller than that.
I mean, there are, they do vary in size. It depends, it is actually set up if you're a senior, junior, or sophomore. So some of the corner ones, if you have the schematic, you can kind of see where some of the rooms, especially the ones that overlook the lake and the ones that overlook Third Avenue, those four corners are the four largest rented group. They will be the, they will be the most popular, but they will be the most direct. So.
And you feel equivalent to cost out and close rent?
Sure. They average right now from $150 a month to $500. And you can guess which one's on there, the 150. You can guess which one's on there, the 500.
Corner office.
And actually, it's funny, it's the 500s that everybody's most interested in right now. Except the landscape architect, he wants to rent a 150 for his library. He wants to create a library on his subject and just use it for that. So,
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir. Are any of them pre-sold or pre-rented or?
Technically, one is, yes, and another one is. So we have Guitars for Vets. Is that what? Guitars for Vets are at Kemper right now, and they need more space, and they're waiting. They ask constantly. When are you, and they want one of the Third Avenue ones, which I find kind of.
So they answered one or two, you said?
Right. Well, they originally wanted two, but my fear is they're so comfortable where they are right now, which are some of those breakout rooms on the second floor behind the conference center, and. If they want to move from those rooms totally to create a space, great. If not, they'll just take on more space.
So you mentioned Racine before.
Yeah.
Your knowledge, anybody, are those 100% occupants?
Yes. I called you the other day saying I wanted to rent one. And it's true, I am an artist, and I do paint. And they told me I'd be went on a waiting list. And they also range, I asked, what's the rent? They said $150 to $500 a month. They've actually become so successful, they've opened a restaurant in that building just to service these tenants, which blew my mind when you told me that. So, I found that quite interesting.
Anything else, Supervisor Dana?
Art, does this have to be sprinkled like we did the first floor?
No, it does not. We have, short answer is no, it doesn't. Grandfathered, in fact, just to be clear, we walked through, I might have said this last time I was here, we walked through with the building inspector, walked through with the, not Dan Santelli, the guy Santelli for the fire department, and we walked through every inch of the space that we were talking about, and understanding ingress and egress, understanding access, both fire escape situations, which are on the side of the building, as you know, fire truck access, all of that, and we've got confirmation from all that.
Two things. I suspect that all of the leasing will go through the Kemper Center, so you're in your contract with the county, it says you can sublease, mm-hmm. So you guys will manage all of those contracts, it's not going to be coming back to town.
Yep.
Okay, and then what is your proposed, like if everything is rented, what would be the income to Kemper?
$83,500 a year.
Anyone? Anything else? If not, well, thank you for.
You're welcome.
I don't know if we have put together your brochures, but they're brilliant. they're probably cost you a lot.
That's I also want to say publicly, I want to thank Mark and Partners in Design a lot for the hours that they have put in Kemper. I mean, we've been working this now over a year and a half, and it's taken us this long to get this far to get the funding. So it is kind of exciting now to finally get to this point. And you see now the light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah.
So are you waiting for, what is it you're waiting for now then?
Well, technically the county has to sign off on it.
Right.
And if I'm not mistaken, does it Matt have to sign, Matt has to sign off on it?
So basically the county exec wanted the committee to hear the whole formal proposal.
Right.
There isn't a formal action required, but if there was an informal one that somebody wanted to be supportive, he didn't want to sign the go-ahead for these, for them to move forward with this until the committee heard it and kind of got their kick at the can, so to speak. So that's really...
Don't have to go before the county board. I would like to have a motion to approve the concept and to give the county executive a signal to move forward.
I think with that, and we have a little more discussion, because I was under the impression that this was already a done deal based on conversations I've had with Matt and other people, that it was just coming to this committee for informational purposes and not that we had any say in what was actually going to happen.
Well, I mean, that's the case, actually, but with the county, not that the county executive is going to just say, well, heck with it. If this room full of people erupted against this concept tonight, possibly, but I haven't heard that eruption. But sure, there's plenty of room for discussion.
I think the concept is great. I think it's a wonderful way for Kemper Center to start bringing additional income and becoming self-sustaining. And Matt and I have had this conversation today and probably numerous other times in regards to the sustainability of Kemper Center. But I guess my questions are, where else in Kenosha County can you go and rent a $2 million property for a dollar and then sublease it? So those are concerns that I have, but I know that this committee can't do anything about it because we're already in a lease with Kemper. So based on the conversations that I've had with Matt and others, this is pretty much a done deal. So it doesn't matter if we take up a motion or a vote on it.
It doesn't matter. It's probably not going to stop the project if one person on the committee doesn't like the idea of them. I'm not sure what you don't like. I want them to succeed.
Yeah, of course. We want them to succeed. Right. That's not my issue.
So no, if you have some...
I'm just wondering why we're making a motion and taking a vote if it's a done deal.
It's a vote of confidence.
Because it won't go before the county board for the rest of the supervisors to give their...
Correct. I think they're trusting us, the judgment of the county executive, the work of the architects and the, you know, reputation of the people involved, that think it's a good concept and work that they put in.
This is much what you do on the county board floor, where you have a non-binding resolution. Things often get sent to Madison, different parts of the state, saying Kenosha County feels us. Do we really have much effect on the state legislature? No, not really. But it's just kind of one of these things where you're saying we're in favor of this, we want you to know our position, and we do this in the following manner. So I think that's what the attempt of resolution coming forward from this committee.
I'm not even asking if this is a resolution.
I didn't get a second.
You didn't get a second, no. Do I have a second on the motion to...
Second.
The second by Supervisor Grady. Any further discussion? So what we're voting on here is giving our approval to the county executive on the concept with the... Kemper Center. All those in favor of the governance? Committee.
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
So, there we go.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Yes. So we'll move on, and Matt, you're first. Right.
And while Matt's passing out the MOU, I'll give a little context for why the MOU even exists. Obviously, over the past year plus, there's been some concerns expressed, transparency, other issues, some with merit, some without merit, relative to Kemper Center. So the executive felt it wise to put together an MOU to take what is the 27-year, or 20, how many years left, Joe, on the contract?
10 years left
on the contract with Kemper. The MOU will provide clarification to some of that. Doesn't materially change it, but it adds some additional. It's, in my mind, it's similar to what when the legislature passes new laws and there's administrative rules that are put in place to clarify those the details. That's kind of what the MOU is an attempt to do. It's to add some additional clarification to some of what is contained in the contract and provide some additional insight into how county funds will be used going forward, so things are more clearly stated. So that's basically, that's kind of the context of what. Joe actually worked on negotiating the contract with Kemper's attorney for about the last, I shouldn't say contract, MOU, worked on the MOU for about the last 3-4 months, I'm gonna say, back and forth to get it to what the document is that you see in front of you. The executive did sign off on that document. He has the authority to do that and did that about maybe a week or two ago. It was kind of part of the Lakefront Studios thing. As you had heard earlier in the meeting, Gary had indicated that the exec and Matt were very firm on, we didn't want any county funds involved in the project that they had proposed. And that's how it's set up. So that they came to us, it's the county's asset, they're making an improvement to it. We're signing off on them being able to make that improvement. There's no county funds involved. In that respect, it's somewhat similar to what we did recently with the beer garden. At the end of the day, if Kemper, heaven forbid, they aren't successful, we still end up, the county ends up with a public asset that has $325,000 worth of improvement to it. That's the worst case scenario. The best case scenario is they do in fact rent it out, they generate $80,000+ a year on an annual basis, they become even more successful, and the whole community benefits from things. So that's what's in play. The MOU adds some additional clarification to things. I'll let Matt maybe walk through kind of the highlights of the MOU.
So yeah, like Ray said, I'll hit some of the high points, and if you guys want to dive into any of the details within what I'm talking about, you can either stop me or discuss afterwards. So a lot of the first page deals with the history of Kemper Center and the county and our working relationship. But a couple of the critical highlights started on page 2. The second item on there still stipulates that this is truly a county facility and county grounds, and we as Kenosha County have the means to make any improvements onto our property, preserve and maintain that property without the permission of Kemper Center. So that was one thing that we wanted to just make sure that that was within the MOU. The next line item, number 3, truly gets to the nuts and bolts that the county recognizes that about where truly previous funds have gone to Kemper Center in our annual budget. And $100,000 is considered operations budget that we've given Kemper Center to basically operate that facility. So there's been a lot of questions in previous years as far as truly what do you do with that operations budget? And Gary in previous county board meetings has said majority of that goes to utilities. So what this MOU does is it stipulates between utilities, which consists of gas and electric, water utilities, alarm, security services, fire inspection, and annual equipment services, and emergency phones, that the county now, starting in 2019, will be responsible for paying those utilities. And that's pretty similar to any other landlord negotiation that sometimes the landlord does pay for those such utility services. So starting in 2019, those costs will come out of county budget, not to exceed $100,000. So similar to what we've done in previous years with the $100,000 just given over to Kemper, maybe a blank check, this creates a little bit more of that accountability that we're going to take ownership over those utility services and make sure that they go into those direct accounts. So moving on, another key point as far as the funds go is in item 8 I wanted to cover, so that's on the next page. It deals with another line item of our budget that's typically approved by the county board over the last several years.
is for capital improvements, being brick and mortar, that we've given Kemper Center $50,000 in order to make capital improvements. And they have a subcommittee called Buildings and Grounds that determines a priority order of what fixes need to happen, be it sidewalks, some leaks here or there, HVAC repairs, HVAC replacements. Now, instead of leaving that to Kemper Center, Kenosha County will utilize that $50,000 and set priorities and determine what's truly needed, because that is a county facility. So that money will stay within Kenosha County's accounts, so that we'll have more oversight over these projects. We'll be able to manage them. Still seek the guidance, obviously, from Kemper Center, because they're there every day. So it's really beneficial to work with Lisa to really see what needs to happen. They'll give us a list of suggestions on an annual basis the previous year. Then we'll work it out as we do with every other capital improvement project. They'll just go within the county budget request for the county board to approve. Last thing to point out on my end is number 10, that this is the way it's always been, but more of a handshake type of deal. But the county, being the majority county staff, still has a sole responsibility for tree removal, pruning, and then clearing debris after major storms. Kemper Center just doesn't have the operations, the equipment, or anything else to take care of that. We do, so it just makes sense, again, just being a property owner, that we maintain those higher level items where Kemper Center can't do that as part of their day-to-day operations. So again, like Ray said, it's just trying to create a little more transparency between the county and Kemper Center, and basically keep funding within the county budget for us to control with utilities and any brick and mortar projects. So, any questions?
Roger, great.
Thank you. I'd like to take a look at point number four. Kemper Center with Park 11 is vacating project to park substantially all existing structure, part of the property without express written permission of the county. So we're talking about the proposed remodeling of third and fourth floor of Simmons. That would be a case in point, specifically 4.24. Just give us the protocol going forward so we can wrap our minds around it. Certainly, if I understand correctly, it's going to have to pass muster with Public Works Administration here, correct, and the county executive. Are there any other points that need to be brought forward in that discussion? Or is that pretty much it?
That would be it.
That's it. And I'd like to go on to point number eight. And this is the point you just spoke about, Matt. Kenosha County will basically be doing the capital improvements directly, not through Kemper Center Inc. If I recall correctly from past budgetary meetings and discussions with Kemper, $50,000 per year is a relatively small amount to be placed such a large expanse facility called Acres involved. If it's appropriate, Mr. Chairman, through you to Mr. Greinke, in any given year, how much does Kemper Inc. put into capital improvements?
Which has always been probably more than $50,000.
Okay, so
but we always earmarked 50 for capital improvements that went through Buildings and Grounds, and then the Kemper Board approved it, then did the project. Now it's just that $50,000 will still be used, go through Buildings and Grounds, but it has to be approved by the county, and then that project will be done.
Right. But my point is, Kemper Inc. and their ability to fundraise and so forth has put money into the property as well, correct?
Of course.
So in any given
this is the next project, right?
So in any given fiscal year, is it approximating $50,000 per year? Is it in excess of the amount the county is putting into it?
It
depends on the year. I mean, we've had good years, we've had bad years. You know, it just depends.
So is it safe to say that it's at least a match, if not exceeding?
Yeah, then I would say, right.
That's my question, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Grady. And Supervisor Gilmore?
I guess this is a question for Matt. Is this memorandum of understanding changing the terms of the original lease?
No, no, it just clarifies.
I guess I do have a question for Mr. Criddle.
Sure.
I called today, but
And I apologize. I had a personal issue that took much more than the day that I was expecting, so I apologize.
I left a message, and I guess my question was, is the way I read this is, and I appreciate, Matt, the transparency and bringing all of this so that people that haven't been on the board for years and years can understand the terms of the contract, but to me, it looks like we're changing the terms of the original lease by saying, okay, we will now take care of the trees on the premises, which the original lease says that they would take care of the premises, like it was their own. And so my concern is, are we able to change the terms of the lease?
I believe we, first of all, I guess I tend to agree with Matt. I don't think it's really changing the terms of the lease. I think it's clarifying some areas of responsibility. I think it is, as Matt said, in sometimes or some instances, bringing the language in line with practice. There is language in the original lease that talks about a management agreement, and further, I certainly think that it is within the exec's authority, both inherent as the chief administrative officer of the county, who has to administer these contracts, but also as the named agent for the county under the lease. I don't see where the changes that are being made are so significant that that they are changing the terms of the lease.
So basically, you answered my question that I left on your voicemail, that the county executive does have authority to go into this non-binding agreement with Kemper Center.
I believe the exec has the authority, yes.
Okay. Can I add, I don't know who to ask this to, but could I ask why it doesn't come before the county board? Why the board has no say in this?
Well, actually, I have a supervisor, or supervisor, if you call him that, Mr. Molinaro will remember years that at budget time, we took the money right out of the budget for the Kemper Center. And there's other years that we doubled it, depending on what the votes were. I remember Kemper Center being a zero. And I remember Kemper Center for capital getting 100. And I think even more sometimes. So this was a thing, an up and down. It wasn't always this 50 and 100. I think what the county executive's trying to do and what they're trying, because of some of the questions in the past couple of years, trying to say, okay, this is what it's going to be. But our staff's going to be totally in charge. That's all this is. The amount of money has never had anything to do with the lease. We have, they call it a grant sometimes. They call it you call it what you want. But we have put $50,000, or tried to keep up our asset. That's all that is. But the amount has changed. It's not how it's been constant.
Oh, and my question wasn't in regards to the amount of money.
Are you talking about the lease
change? I'm talking about the change. Yeah, if we want transparency and clarification for the lease, why don't we just modify the lease? Why are we circumventing the board and doing a memorandum of understanding and not just clarifying the lease, changing the lease, updating the lease, making it so that we're all on the same page? Now we've got a lease from 1977, we've got an updated lease in 1992, we've got an updated lease in 1997, and now we've got a memorandum of understanding. Why don't we just clarify the lease, update the lease, bring it before the board versus this? That's my question.
You've totally misunderstood the reason for this. This has nothing to do with the lease. Zero.
Well, it's basically clarifying what's in the lease.
No, in the lease, it never said we were going to give them $50,000 for capital projects and $100,000 for as a grant. The lease doesn't have
the
that.
The dollar amount wasn't specified
correct
in there. You're right on that thing. Yeah.
Supervisor Gilmore, if I can just add, is the question you're asking, why are we not bringing a full... The changes in the lease that you are seeing, the changes in the terms of the lease that you're seeing, do they go beyond the question of the care for the grounds? I'm just guessing, because that's the one that you mentioned in terms of changing the terms of the lease.
That was the one thing I mentioned that I brought up. obviously, we just got this. We just got this today. And that was another question I had in regards to, you know, why didn't we get this with the whole packet? But that's for another day. I'm just, my question is, why are we using a memorandum of understanding instead of just updating the lease?
I guess I'm viewing the memorandum of understanding as clarifying the terms of the lease. The lease says that the terms can be reviewed. This was an instance where both sides felt that there were aspects of the lease that predates, I believe, everyone in this room, although I don't want to speak for you, Gary. I was looking at this earlier today and realizing the original lease was signed when I was 5 years old. The notification of the renewal of the lease came when I, literally as I was finishing my first year in law school. So, I mean, this certainly predates everyone. There are aspects of the lease which, not to criticize those who worked on it, but I will say charitably, were not as clear as they may have been. We wanted to take this opportunity to try and clarify some of those aspects, as well as take the opportunity to address some of the concerns that have been raised over the past couple of years, including the issue of transparency, including the issue of who had responsibility for what, including clarifying the interaction of the roles between the executive director at the executive director at Kemper and the director of parks for Kenosha County. There were a number of aspects that we looked at and said, this is language that we can try and clarify.
Okay, I understand that.
Thank you. Do you have any questions?
Yes. Paragraph 11, it says, the parties may modify this memorandum of understanding or the terms of the lease by mutual written agreement at any time. And I must say, I like that, but I don't know why somebody didn't mention this last week in the Finance Committee meeting, you know, when I was bringing up, you know, stuff about Kemper, and they were saying, well, we can't change the lease. Well, it says right here, I mean, this thing was signed at that time. In fact, it was signed back in October, and I'm just curious why, you know, this committee did not get a look at it before it was signed. And, you know, and then Supervisor Gentz says, well, we can't change it, you know, last week then in the Finance Committee meeting.
What terms are you talking about changing the budget?
The terms of, any terms in the lease.
Well, they have to be mutually agreed to, though.
Right.
So, I mean, are there specific...
I'm just saying, I like that because it can be changed at any time, but why somebody didn't mention that last week when we were in the Finance Committee meeting, it's...
Well, what was being proposed in the Finance Committee meeting was dumping the Kemper Group and getting somebody else. So that's, we're not talking about the same thing here.
Okay.
Our attorney said they have to be mutually agreed upon, and I don't think the Kemper is going to agree upon that. And that's why he probably said we can't change it.
So this will not be going before the county board then?
No.
Just like the other resolution, or not resolution, but the other.
Correct. Yes, sir.
Can I make a motion?
Sure.
I'd like to make a motion to direct the county executive to rescind the memorandum of understanding between the county and Kemper Center based on the information that Corp Counsel brought this evening. Is, could we clarify the lease and rescind the MOU? So that would be my motion to ask.
Is there a second? Well, the motion dies for lack of a second. Anything else? If not, we're going to move on. Thank you, Joel, for being here. Gary, Mark.
All right, I'm going to the Parks Division report. The good news is that certain element kind of being went out there was the first topic of KD Park grants. So we actually heard back from the DNR on two separate grants that we put before the committee in the past. The first was a recreation boating facilities grant. I said that nothing was done because there was no state budget, but now that the state budget was passed, Kenosha County was awarded $112,686. So in the development of our boat launch, boarding pier, trailer parking, and restrooms. So that's one piece of the news. The second one was our stewardship. We always apply for the DNR stewardship, and this time we were awarded tentatively, which means that they just give us the formal documents after it goes through the checks and balances, of $223,413, and that's going to also go towards the restroom facility. So both of those grants put together will help fund 50-50 match the restroom facility. Also the parking lots next to the KD Park Dam and a multi-use dock platform for swimmers, or not swimmers, but scuba divers, fishing, and then a canoe kayak launch. So total project anticipated for 2018 is $672,000, half of that being matched by the state. So we had great news for KD Park this last month. Next on the list is roof replacement projects. So you'll see on the report a list of different roofs that we are moving forward with. There's three additional roofs that got placed on there because they are small. They were the Fox River Pavilion roofs. So since our contractor, Kai Shacks, was going to be in the area for the one original Fox River roof replacement, we decided since we had remainder of funds available after these went into bid, we went out and did quotes of four different companies, but Kai Shack was indeed the lowest on Fox River for the three additional ones. So we're moving forward with those as well this year because it makes economic sense to do so. So that's in front of you is the timeline of the remainder of our replacement projects for this year. Moving on to Eagle Scout projects, we have some really eager gentlemen that are helping us out with some Eagle Scout projects. You'll see some pictures attached as well. But Alex is in the final stages of constructing his bunk beds for the Fox River Park Overnight Lodge. So that'll make a total of 22 different beds for the city. Austin did a fantastic job putting in together a patio paper for a fire pit set. I kind of was joking alongside Austin as he was putting together, and I asked for herringbone. So not only is that just a run-of-the-mill patio paver, but they did a fantastic job putting that together. Last one is Nick Drecker. He's helping us out with fish crypts over at KD Park Lake. And that's going to really help us out in conjunction with our stocking of over 700 fish within that lake. So that way the fish will have a little bit more of a habitat coming this winter. Update on Kemper. That vandalism that I spoke of previously, and we had an additional window vandalized back on October 21st, and then also a break-in into that Durkee match in the following. So windows will be replaced coming this Friday. That's what they give us for anticipated date, and we're reviewing all of our locks, doors, alarm systems with Kemper Center to make sure that it doesn't happen.
Do you have any cameras out there at all?
We do, but they're not operational. We checked all the, we tried to check the video, but none of them are working for it. So, moving on to some operations, ASNEMS. We removed over 200 stumps over at Bristol Woods Park. If you haven't been to Bristol Woods, in this area is about 3 acres, I'd say, of full ash tree. Majority is just ash that we removed last year. And 200 ash tree got removed, so we had to remove the stumps and completely clear up the area. So our crews have been diligently working on that 3 acres for the last couple months. We also, tis the season for tree removals, ash trees, oak, wilt, you name it, just trying to do a lot of removals of dead trees within the area. So we took out approximately 60 throughout the park system, added some additional riprap to KD Dam for our inspection. And then also, just an update on that Craig Mighty's, we've been trying to hit that hard, not only with our aerial spraying, but around the lake edge. We've been at that, I don't know, 5 years or so. So now we're finally at a stage of control where we're going to be doing winter seeding of wet music prairie mix. Finally, social media. Just a heads up, if you just go to YouTube and just plug in Kenosha County Parks, we had a wonderful intern, Fred, He did three really amazing YouTube videos, two on our mountain biking at Silver Lake Park, one winter mountain biking, one just regular spring summer, and also just kind of a recap of our 90th anniversary party. So just another way for us to have that online presence for people to have more awareness of our park system. So that was what I had for the division report. And the next thing I have is just on the committee level approval of 2018 rates. So just an overview. Every year we seek approval at committee level and the public works level to approve all park entry fees and rates. So not much is changing for next year, just a few highlights before the committee takes the vote. Something that is changing next year per your vote is there will be no entrance fees to Old Settlers Park on weekends. In previous years, we always collected entrance fees for our beach area, and we did a cost analysis, and especially with the shortage of lifeguards. We always have a heck of a time hiring lifeguards as well. But it actually makes more sense to rent out that pavilion up there. And we can't rent out the boathouse pavilion on the western side of Old Settlers Park if we collect fees on weekends. So doing a cost analysis, we can actually make more money and still have the beach open to the general public for free of charge. It just wouldn't have lifeguards on it. So there's an additional pavilion that'll be rented out. And again, no fees on weekends for Old Settlers. And those are the only two changes. All the price points as far as fee collections, pavilions, add-on fees for beer permits, those all stay the same for 2018.
On the shelter rentals for fees, it's the same for residents, non-residents?
$100,
yes. Did we change that along the way somewhere?
We did, I think. Two years ago, maybe, when we went to an online reservation system, there was no way for us to determine factually who was a resident versus not a resident unless you clicked a button. And I'm guessing if they clicked the cheaper of the alternatives, that's what they'd be paying.
Yeah.
So we just decided to streamline to $100 per pavilion.
Unless you wait till October 22nd, then it's free.
That's what the weather changed.
For your car parts.
Other questions?
Yes, sir. Reading.
On KD Park grants that were in process of going to work out there, are there to be separate boat launches for canoe/kayak and a different boating area?
If you looked at the map, it's probably pretty hard to see on the report. To answer your question, yes, there's going to be an actual boat launch, and there's going to be kind of a push-in pier to guide those boaters, but it has to be non-petroleum-based watercraft that enter.
Okay, so you could have electric trolling
one. You could have an electric trolling one, correct. So that accommodates for those maybe larger of boats, but on what I consider this multi-purpose platform, it's kind of a cool thing that's fairly new, but it's a fairly large dock, about maybe 15 by 15 foot in size. And it has multiple aspects where scuba divers can launch from there. You got fishing areas for people. And also, there's these rollers that you can actually bring your kayak or canoe and put it on this roller system. And it can be guided down with the handrail system so you can easily access the water's edge from that system.
So that's one of those things that would be in-seasonally, and then in the wintertime it would be taken out.
That's one thing we're going to look at with our engineers is how best operationalize either to keep it in or take it out. I'm guessing we are going to have to take it out because the lake does freeze over. Typically, it freezes over on the last 2 years.
Plus, we have our fishing derby.
Yeah, okay.
The next one, do we have a date set for the fishing derby?
Yes, I can't tell you off the top of my head, but I think, again, it's the second week of January, I think, we typically have that.
And when it freezes, it's colder than hell out there. I guarantee it. Really, it's cold.
It's warm.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So, can I have a motion to approve the 2018 rates? No other discussion.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Wamble. Any further discussion? If not, you, the delegates?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
get in your car for the coupon?
I'll stick around.
I know. Golf, man.
Wrapping up the season in golf, our senior scramble was Friday, October 6th. We had 100 players, actually that one, the weather was okay at. We gave away 2018 senior season passes for the winners of that. And then we are using Facebook advertising, we really did a great job of selling out the Brightondale Open. We had 156 people signed up for that, but unfortunately the weather was horrible, and so we only had 122 show up, and then we were only able to play 9 holes, and then we gave everybody a 18-hole rain check to come back at another time, and 2018 adult season passes are the prizes for that, so we put all the teams in a hat, and we picked out a winner for the prizes just because they had already paid for that outing, and so we didn't have to do any refunding. So that was good. And then the Halloween Horror, we sold that out again for Saturday the 28th, and that weather was really poor that day too, and so we ended up with 132 players on that day. And they enjoyed it, but it was really cold. I mean, it was cold and misting and stuff. So, but yeah, the fall events really helps us wrap up for the year. So, we've also been nominated, and I want to say we won Best Golf Course for Kenosha County, as voted on by the Kenosha News, Petrifying Springs, 5 years in a row. 5 years in a row that they've won number one best golf course in Kenosha County, and Brightondale was third. So very happy about that. It's great to be able to offer, you know, the best golf facilities in the area. So that's definitely a feather in our cap. So we're preparing for shutting down the golf courses. Brightondale Links, we closed the Red Pine 9 today. Next Monday, we will close the White Birch, and the following Friday, the 17th, we will close down Brightondale completely. We are aerifying the fairways out there, and we usually like to keep the white open, but we did the aerification of the white fairways last year, so we have to close that one down first so we can do that aerification this year. And then the blue will be open, and it's right next to the Bong Recreation Area, and there's deer hunters just on the other side of the property line, and so we feel it's a best move to close that facility and send any golfers that we do get over to Petrifying Springs after that. So after that, Petrifying Springs will be open every day unless it's predicted to be less than 40 degrees. I'm on weather.com, and we'll open until the snow shuts us down. And then once we shut down, we don't open again until spring. It's just too hard on the course, and we don't have any carts, and it just doesn't make financial sense to open back up again. So even if we get a couple nice days in January or something. And our next best big initiative is our special holiday golf clearance sale. We'll take all of our merchandise for the golf shop from Brightondale as soon as we close down and bring it all over to Petrifying Springs. We'll set up all of our merchandise. We'll have a good sales there, and as well as being open. After we close, we'll be open from 11 to 6 Wednesday through Saturday until December 23rd. And we do sell a lot of gift cards, and we do sell a lot of our merchandise, so that's another good wrap-up to our season. Projects that we're continuing with, pre-planting. We're going to be doing 179 plantings on the golf course, and that's starting November 15th in the parks, and then they'll be moving up to the golf course, so we're looking forward to that. We have it all outlined and staked out, and you know, for all the ash trees that we've lost, we feel that this will be a adequate replacement, and we're really looking forward to getting those in the ground, and then watching them grow. So that'll be great. We winterized the golf courses. We did all of our aerification, and we did all of our irrigation drainage, and then we use a compressor to blow all the irrigation lines out so that all the water is out, so that we don't have any leaks in the spring. And then the food and beverage inventory at both facilities has been reduced as much as possible, and we'll have it all over at Petrifying Springs while we're open, and then hopefully the rest will just make it until we open again in spring. Also, the wastewater treatment plant and maintenance road and the road from the clubhouse down to the maintenance shop at Brightondale was paved. The highway department did a great job. Thank you very much. And looks wonderful. Also behind the clubhouse at Petrifying Springs was done, and really has made a big difference already. People have commented constantly on how nice the improvement is of having all that pavement done. So that was great projects to get done. So those the things that we're doing in golf.
Any questions for Dan? With that, we will move on. Mike?
I'll go as quickly as I can. I'm going to start with the energy reduction project list. So I moved three projects from the ongoing to the complete list. That's the Molinaro building, replacement of the boilers, an LED exit sign project that was at Brookside that was actually done a while ago, and I didn't realize it. And then the courthouse project to upgrade the LED lights in the hallways and the exterior posts. So those are complete. So we got a handful of just a few projects that are yet to be done. So the list is really winding down. And most of those projects are going to be done by the time this winter is over. The only one that will remain is upgrading the outside lights at KCDC, and that'll probably be done by midsummer next year. So this list is going to get exhausted pretty quick. We may be restocking that, I'm guessing. Other than that, I'll move on to another project. Good? Okay. Other facilities projects at KCDC, there's two of them. One is the fire alarm panel replacement project, just like the one that we did here. It replaces an obsolete system that started the week of 10/18. I don't have a completion date on it yet. It seems to drag out a little bit longer than we expect, but it's moving along at a steady pace. The other project is also at KCDC, and it's for a replacement of a UPS system. There's a letter in your packet to finance, so for you guys it's informational. But this is something that we didn't plan for. It came up kind of like an emergency situation. We don't have the funds specified for it, so the letter asked to reallocate funds for that so we can get forward. It's a bit of an emergency situation. We've gotten one quote already. Purchasing is working on two more. We expect it to be no more than $38,000, as the letter states. As soon as we get that clarified, we're going to pull the trigger and get going on that. The UPS, I don't know if everybody knows what they are. They're an uninterruptible power supply, and they do a number of things. And at a building where there's a generator, it supplies the power during the lag time that it takes the generator to kick in when there's a power loss. So this one's at the detention center, powers the camera systems, watch the inmates outside of the building, powers the electronics that work the sliders in the hallways and some of the cell doors, and if that goes down, we've got life safety problems for the officers there. So if we lose power, generator kicks in, but there's always an 8 to 10 second lag. And when that happens, all those systems go down, and then they have to work manually on everything, and then they have to be rebooted. They can keep operating, but it creates a very difficult situation. So it's a key system that we shouldn't be fooling around with. We need to get it replaced and move forward. So basically what the letter says. That's all I have.
Any questions for Mike?
Just did
yeah. Right.
Mr. Chairman, good news. The courthouse fire alarm system is complete. It's done. The $70,000 we were holding got their attention. they jumped on it, so. No other questions? I'll go to the PSV generator replacement. We did all the exhaustive testing, went through load bank testing again, made them repeat all the testing they did before we had the failure. It passed with flying colors. The generator is now online and working. It's all the work's nearly complete. We have a monitoring software that we ordered with this, and that'll monitor the generator, give us any updates with problems with it, things like that. So Kenosha County IT is working with Caterpillar and working with the contractor to make sure that we install it. It walks and talks, and they want to put it on the network so we can see it in other places. So that'll be a first for the county. And there'll be a short shutdown they have to do to convert from a temporary breaker to a permanent one, which we're going to piggyback on to when we have to do the same. We have to do the shutdown for the public safety building because we're going to be tying in the emergency lighting, the ELC, at the same time. So killing two birds with one stone. No questions? Go on to public safety building, addition second floor, and fleet maintenance building. Fleet maintenance building, everybody pulled it together, did a great job, and we got temporary occupancy from the city right on time last Friday. So fleet maintenance actually started moving their stuff in this afternoon. So right on time. Yeah, right on time. So that went well. The second floor is progressing on time. All of the tile work on the floor and the walls is almost complete. The electrical, the piping, and HVAC are all progressing well. So that's moving along rather well. Now that, just going back to fleet for a moment, with all of their equipment and everything transitioning their automotive operations over, they've got 2 weeks to get everything transitioned. That'll allow them to keep operations going and start moving stuff over. After they move out, we're going to start demoing, gutting that area, and that's going to be changed into the new medical examiner area. So that's going to be quite a transformation from an automotive shop to a laboratory environment plus office. Questions on that? Move on to the last item, the courtroom branch 4 remodel. That's progressing pretty well. We lost a few days taking out some old cabinets. We found some asbestos tiling that was loose, tiles that were loose. So we had to get those tested. They tested positive, and we had to get those abated. So we lost only a few days, but we think we may be able to make up some ground. Stay on time with that. That's it.
Great. Who found the tiles and who reported us?
Well, the contractor, when they pulled up the old cabinetry, it actually pulled up the old tiles underneath it. So
yeah.
They were already loose and broken up, and at that point. But it turned out, because the square footage was small, we just had to get them tested and got them abated, so we just lost a few days.
Yeah. They just basically put them in a plastic bag and took them out.
Yeah,
that's what they do.
yeah, that's true. But they got to be certified. They've got to be licensed.
Yeah.
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 So
they have to remediate the whole area where they found the asbestos, or how does that work?
It just when they the. All of those tiles have been taken out except where the old cabinet was. So when they removed the old cabinet, they lifted up the old tiles, kind of broke them up.
If you have tile that was put in, and no, in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, any tile that was put in is going to test positive for the glue. So you'll find, yeah, it's not something. Doesn't have to be from the 20s. Your mother can have it in her house. So.
I think it was used up into the 60s at least, if not the early 70s. And the big advantage why they did it was because fire was a real issue for years and years and years. And by putting asbestos flooring, it kept fires from going up and up and up or spreading out in buildings. So really it was a huge positive until they found out it caused cancer if it was loose. If it's solid, if it's solid and not breaking up or anything, where it can get into the air, it's fine. You don't have to abate it. But once it's broken and loose, then it has to be abated.
Ready?
Public safety building generator, you're saying Caterpillar has some software that allows monitoring of the symptoms.
Correct.
When that's set up, you said it's going to go now more than just for the public safety building generator. It's going to go more throughout the county system.
The goal here, and that's what our IT is working with Caterpillar and working with the contractor, we want to put it on the network.
Okay.
So if there was a failure or something out there, somebody up here and maintenance could pull it up, maybe even from home. So that's what we have them all three working together to make sure IP addresses, connectivity, network speeds, things like that. That's our goal.
So in that type of situation, would be Public Works responsible for detecting the failure and remedying it, or is it an IT responsible?
No, IT just gives the pathways on the network and the IP addresses, the access, things like that. But it would still fall on Public Works.
Right.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify something too, Frank, is that the monitoring software that's being installed, it's really for this generator.
Right.
It'll be on the network, so like Frank said, you could remotely diagnose and be aware of what's going on. But the plan is to roll out similar software on all of our key generators. In fact, it's required for some certification through one of the law enforcement, because Pleasant Prairie law enforcement's already made a request of us, in our towers, where we've got backup generators for all the communication towers that are part of the 911 system. We don't have those monitors on right now, but we've actually got planned to do it next year to start to put those things in place so that we can monitor those things. It lets you know when something's come on, because you don't know unless you get a phone call. And if it actually did what it was supposed to do, if you're in dispatch, you don't even know that it came on. And it's important that they do know and that we know, and so that if something then doesn't function properly, we can address it as quickly as possible. So this is kind of the virgin one we're doing. We're going to get the bugs out of this, and then we plan on doing it in other key generators. So it'll be a good thing going forward, definitely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I want to preempt Clement a little bit, just only in that, because the resolution is listed first, and that resolution, it's one of the resolutions that, because it requires Finance Committee action as well, we're trying to set up, and it's planned to have a joint Public Works and Finance Committee meeting December 5th before the county board meeting for that night, because there's two or potentially three items that will require both committees' action. And if we act on this tonight, it won't get to the Finance Committee before the board adjourns, sign, die, and then this action will be moot, and then we'd still have to take it up again. So based on what I know, I believe we're better off waiting, and we can put it on the December 5th meeting, and then we can do it jointly in that special meeting and go right to the county board before the end of the year, and we can have everything in place. Because it shouldn't affect, based on what Clement and I talked briefly before the meeting tonight, it shouldn't affect our ability to what we need to do with this particular action. It's actually kind of silly, because it's creating a right-of-way, but we need to, based on the funding requirements, because there's some federal dollars involved in this project, we have to create a right-of-way to ourselves.
Correct.
So it's kind of silly, but we have to do it, but we can do it then. And so I'm recommending that we table that until this joint meeting is on December 5th.
Right, we won't bring it up tonight at all.
Yeah.
We don't need a vote. So.
Yeah. Go ahead, Connor.
Okay, so I'll go into the report. The division is rounding up asphalt paving for 2017. Few paving projects that are still ongoing, the path on along County Trunk Highway KR. We are also doing some state work. And we are also planning to, we're planning to pave County Trunk FR between F and C. But this was contingent to the fact that if the weather is good, conducive, and the plants are open. But I think the chances that we're going to do that are very slim, because right now it's very difficult to get pavement marking contractors, because the end of the year and the temperature is falling real fast. And so I doubt whether we'll do that, but I'm just updating this information now because this report was done last week. And other than that, the crews are also doing general maintenance work, which includes mowing, brushing, shouldering at various locations in the county. Project updates, County Trunk Highway S, from County Trunk Highway H to 31. Right now, I would say from 31 to I-94, there was a media release over the weekend on Sunday. There will be a public involvement meeting on the 16th. Again, this report was done before that was done, so I'm just picking it back from there. So there will be that public information meeting. Our interaction with FAA, we're still waiting for them to give their feedback on the RPZ analysis. They initially asked us to consider two more alternatives, which we did, and we reevaluated the pros and cons, and we determined that our initial preferred option is still on the table. That's what we prefer, which was the original design that the county presented. We are waiting for that feedback. It could come anytime, and we'll see what FAA says. But hopefully, we'll probably get some positive result this time. County Trunk Highway H and Bain Station in roundabout. The project is still 3 weeks late. The contractor couldn't catch up with the time. But they're making some good progress right now. They've done the grading. They've done all the concrete work. The sidewalks are in. The truck apron in the center is in, and they're doing proof roll today, tomorrow, and possibly Wednesday. And they're planning to pave the binder on Friday or Saturday. So hopefully by next week, we'll probably be completing the paving. Hopefully the temperature will still be good enough for us to do our pavement marking, which is epoxy, because there are two types of pavement marking, epoxy or paint. Paint you can do anytime, but epoxy, you have a minimum threshold temperature at which you have to do it. If we can do the epoxy, we'll probably do some temporary paint, which would be some additional cost, but it will not kill the project, but we cannot leave it over the winter without any striping. So right now, the contractor is working real hard, and the goal is to substantially complete the project by the third week of November. County Trunk Highway JF, please, if you have questions, you can stop me to them just scrolling. County Trunk Highway JF, the project is completed. The road is fully open to traffic as we speak. The fourth one is the Pike River Trail project along 31. This project is progressing real, it's really on schedule, or I would say slightly ahead of schedule. I was amazed today when I went out there to look. All the piles for the bridge has all been, because there's one bridge structure which we need to install. The pile foundation have all been driven down, and they'll be pouring the concrete. We call them helical piles. What that means is that they have this cylindrical casing. They drive them all the way down until they get adequate bearing, and then they put in reinforcement in the reinforcement bars in them, and then they pour concrete. So they've driven all those pile casings, and they're doing the reinforcement this morning when I went out there, and they hopefully by the end of this week the pipe cap and the surface foundation will be completed. So which they're really pulling along. The grading on the path itself is almost complete, but because of the rain that we had the last week, it's not really helping. They're waiting for the base to dry, and we hope it will dry, but if another rain comes into play right now, it might be a little bit challenging. However, we are also thinking of other measures to take in order to dry the base. They are thinking of other measures. The contractor is really moving fast, and hopefully by mid-November 2, I think majority of the path will be well graded and will just be waiting for asphalt paving, except for some locations, especially close to where the boardwalk starts and where the bridge starts. We don't want to do paving this year. We could have done it if we want to, but we don't want to do paving because there will be too many joints. And that's what we are trying to avoid. The more joints you have, those are the weak spots for those paths. So we are trying to keep paving for next year, get everything ready, and then come next year, we just run the paver. And the contractor plans to work throughout the winter period, and that would mean that if the weather is favorable, that is, if there's no snow, he might complete everything by the end of December, if the weather holds up. Attached to this project is the County Trunk Highway KR path. 50% of it was paved today. The bridge is up, and they're doing grading on the side by the abutment of the bridge. About 50 feet on both sides of the bridge is part of the contractor, because this project is kind of multi-phased with two different, the contractor and the county. The county section, we've paved 50% of the county section today. Hopefully tomorrow we might complete it, or at the latest on Wednesday. And then the contractor is planning to pave the section about 50 feet on both sides, 75 feet on both sides of the bridge sometime next week. So hopefully by the end of next week, that section of the project will be fully completed. That's all I have for county projects. And then for WISDOT project, State Trunk Highway 45 is scheduled to be fully opened on November 15th. There are miscellaneous work going on right now, like landscaping, laying of sod, and some punch list item. According to the project manager, the project will be substantially completed by mid-December. That is all I have for today.
Anything for Clement from anyone? Good job. Thank you, Clement.
Thank you.
Great.
Just a few updates. I actually just got back at 4 o'clock this afternoon. I've been out of town since last Tuesday. I was able to get some updates on Brookside project and the KCDC project, because a lot happens this time of year as long as it doesn't rain. Brookside, state inspectors should be down the week probably of Thanksgiving. I don't believe these guys are deer hunters. They have to come in before we close up all the ceilings and inspect all of the infrastructure, electrical, HVAC, and plumbing above the ceiling before we can seal that up. They should be down, I believe it's the week of Thanksgiving now, they're scheduled to be down. Paint and flooring in the resident rooms in the renovation part, the old part of the building, is 100% complete now. The Board of Trustees took a tour this afternoon. I believe Supervisor O'Day went. Other things that are going on, they're just really working. There's a lot that's transpired in the last few weeks.
I didn't recognize anything.
You don't recognize anything? It really is.
I was lost in there today.
It's amazing what the renovation is actually going to do to that building in terms of its feel and use now going forward. Really, for not doing a ton of work down the actual resident halls, but all the hub areas and the main area where administration was, all that's been blown up and kind of redesigned to make it more home-like and more efficient. So I think folks are really going to be surprised when it's completed, just how much renovation is taking place in there. Furniture bids came in week before last. I believe we're in the process, based on skimming through emails, of awarding that, so that all the furniture, because some of that furniture will have a 14 to 16 week lead time, and in order to hit the dates that we need it by, in order to be able to move in by mid-March is the target right now, which I believe is pretty firm at this point. We needed to get those things, so they started ordering it last week already, and I believe there's some additional items that still need to be ordered. The only other thing that's going on in the existing building, there are some kind of hanging on HVAC issues in certain areas of the building that we're working through. It's between some of the mechanical HVAC system itself and the controls associated with those. We're working out some bugs on that, especially now when we start to change from cooling intensive weather to heating intensive weather. We're working through that stuff right now. Most of it's squared away, but there's a few items that I know we got a big meeting on Wednesday this week that hopefully will resolve the last of this stuff. That's pretty much Brookside. At the KCDC storage building, the walls are about 40% complete right now. The roof is 50% complete. Basically, the south half of the roof is complete, which has now allowed them to go in and start. Concrete pours are scheduled for the floor, the south end of the building, this Thursday to start, and then they'll do the north half. The north roof should be done next week, and then the concrete under that will be poured, and then mechanicals will go in. So we're hoping to be done with that before Thanksgiving. I don't think we're going to work. It's going to be really close. It's going to be really close, because we really want, we'd ideally want that to be completed so that when we take down fleet maintenance, the existing fleet maintenance, and move everything out of there, we'd be able to start to do vehicle investigation out here. We've got a backup plan if this isn't done when we need to take that area down, as Frank reported earlier in the meeting, that we'll be able to do temporarily some vehicle investigation in the new fleet maintenance building that's just about complete. That is pretty much it on those projects. Everybody else has updated you on everything that's going on in the divisions. We're still hoping to wrap up some projects. Golf is pretty well squared away project-wise, but facilities still has some projects. Highway still has some projects that we're hoping to, if we can get a few more weeks of just average weather, we should be fine. But yeah, we're not, there's still plenty of stuff to get taken care of yet. That's it for my time, Mr. Chairman.
Bill?
Comment upon the carpeting proposal at Brookside. Carpet at Brookside, is that original scope modified the same? What are we doing?
It's the same. So the original scope is what's in place right now, which in the renovation, this is something people might not have been clear on, is that it's just in the resident rooms. The flooring in the hallways is still the original resilient flooring. We didn't pull that up. The only place that we pulled that up is in the memory care area, the 100 and 200 wings, which is the area that had that kind of looped courtyard area, those two wings. That, the hallways are going to be, I believe those aren't going to end up being carpeted in there, but it's very short sections, very small sections, because there's a dining area in there that actually took out a good chunk of the hallway.
Anything else from anyone? If not, ask for a motion to adjourn.
So
second. Second to adjourn. All
in the room?
Aye. So we don't have a meeting at 8 o'clock. Come on.